God made man, and he takes. Man is a taker. God made us to take in and to give back out. But the problem is that, you know, we live in a society where we got to have it our way, and we got to have somebody do it all for us. And that's the mentality that we have, is that this thing is all about us. You know the poem, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. And see, that's the problem with us. It's all about us. But when we look at the Sea of Galilee, and we see how the Sea of Galilee takes in. We look at the Jordan River, and we see how the Jordan River takes in and gives out. And we can see the prosperity around the Jordan River because it is a conduit to take in and give out. We can see the blessing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2.
We've been doing a series over the last couple of weeks entitled Spiritual Lessons from Biblical Places. Last week, we began to look at the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. What started out as one message that I thought that I could get all in one Sunday, and as I preached part of it last week and going to preach another part this week, actually it turns into a 3-week sermon on if you're not taking in and giving out, you're going to dry up. Take in and give out or dry up. And as I said, if you'll go to the next slide, we've been looking at some biblical places. We looked, for instance, we looked at Masada, and we talked about how that God is my Masada. That God, that word Masada means refuge, and we looked at how that Masada was a refuge. We looked at En Gedi, and we saw how that En Gedi is an oasis in the midst of the desert. Now, they're not up here, but we also looked at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, which would have been in here somewhere, the mountains of blessing and cursing. And we said that the choice is ours. If we want to be blessed, then we will obey the word of God. And if we don't want to be blessed and we want the curse to come on us, then we will disobey the word of God. Last week, we started looking at the Sea of Galilee, and we said that the Sea of Galilee is in northern Israel, that it is fed by the Jordan River right here, and it comes into the Sea of Galilee. And then the Sea of Galilee, now some famous things that happened here at the Sea of Galilee we looked at last week is Jesus did much of his ministry in and around the Sea of Galilee. Only until the last couple weeks of his life did Jesus actually come down here to Jerusalem. But most of Jesus' ministry was up here around the Sea of Galilee. We looked at the Jordan River, and we said that the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee. Now, two things that are significant biblically about the Jordan River is, one is this is where the Israelites would have crossed over to enter into the promised land. And the second famous thing about the Jordan River is that that is where Jesus Christ was baptized. So the Jordan River flows about 70 miles from the Sea of Galilee, and then it empties into the Dead Sea. And we said that in the Dead Sea, that nothing lives in the Dead Sea. And one of the reasons that nothing lives in the Dead Sea is because the Dead Sea takes in, but it doesn't give out. And in order for you to be useful in the kingdom of God, you have to take in and you have to give out. We said that one of the reasons that the Dead Sea has no life in it is because the Dead Sea is the lowest spot on all the earth. There's not a spot lower than the Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea actually has no way of having rivers to channel out of it. And so the only way for water to leave the Dead Sea is that it evaporates. The sun evaporates the water, and what ends up happening is that you have a bunch of minerals left, and the Dead Sea is salty. It is 7 times saltier than any other body of water on the face of the earth. And the reason being is because as the water evaporates, it leaves those deposits behind. And you can go into the Dead Sea if you ever want to go to the Holy Land. And as a matter of fact, I'm making an announcement. I'm working right now. I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but I'm trying to lead a group of people, lead a trip to the Holy Land maybe next spring. So if you want to come, you can be praying about coming with us to the Holy Land. So all these places that we're talking about, many of them that you will actually be able to see. But if you were able to go to the Dead Sea, you could lay back in the Dead Sea and not have to worry about drowning. I mean, it's so mineral laden that it would keep you afloat. So you don't have to worry about drowning in the Dead Sea. So if you go to that next slide. So what we've been talking about is if we don't take anything in, we will have nothing to give out. And we looked at that last week with the Sea of Galilee. We said that the Sea of Galilee takes in, and because it takes in, it has something to give out. This week, we're going to look at the Jordan River. And the Jordan River, we see, if we take in and give out, we will flourish. That if we are constantly taking in and giving out, we will become a wellspring of life. And then next week, we're going to look at the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is an example. If we take in but don't give out, then we'll die. If you take in and don't give out, then you'll die. If we could move through those next couple slides. Last week, we talked about that when you take in, that you got to give out. But if you keep giving out and you don't take anything in, then your tank becomes empty. And these are some of the things that we talked about last week. All right, you can move on to the next slide. And then we talked about that B. You know, how can you be a B? You know, if you're going to, how do you take in order to be able to give something back out? And these are the R's that we gave last week that you can do in order to take in so that you can give back out. Now, this brings us to our lesson for this week. And the lesson for this week is, if you take in and give out, then you will flourish. So if you look at your notes, we'll start there. The Jordan River is primarily fed by the Sea of Galilee. It flows along the eastern border of Israel, feeding dry areas along the way, then it empties into the Dead Sea. Two biblical references seem to indicate that some areas around the Jordan are lush and fruitful. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, Elijah gave the sons of the prophets permission to build a dwelling place near the Jordan. And the main reason that they went down to build this dwelling place near the Jordan is because that there was a lot of trees down there. And so they went down there and they began to cut down these trees so that they could build a place to live in. So that gives us some indication of how fruitful and how much vegetation was around the Jordan River. Another example that we see in Scripture of the fruitfulness of the Jordan River is found in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, where the reference is made to the swelling of the Jordan. The NIV translates the phrase swelling of the Jordan as the thickets of the Jordan. These thickets refer to a place of thick growth and dense vegetation on the banks of the Jordan. Because of the Jordan River, because it is a conduit for water, that means it takes in water and it gives water back out, the banks of the Jordan are a source of life for vegetation and for greenery. So we look at the Jordan River this morning. And the Jordan River is a perfect example of the life of the believer. That if you will take in, if you will absorb the nutrients of God's word, if you will be filled with the abundance of God's spirit, if you will take in and then you in turn take in what you receive and you give back out to others, God will make you a wellspring of life. God will make your life fruitful. See, the problem is that God has created us as beings that give. But instead of giving, we are selfish and we want to consume everything on ourselves. Somebody made this observation. God made the sun, it gives. God made the moon, it gives. God made the stars, they give. God made air, it gives. God made the clouds, they give. God made the earth, it gives. God made the sea, it gives. God made the trees, they give. God made the flowers, they give. God made the fowls, they give. God made the beasts, they give. God made the plants, they give. God made man, and he takes. Man is a taker. God made us to take in and to give back out. But the problem is that, you know, we live in a society where we got to have it our way, and we got to have somebody do it all for us. And that's the mentality that we have, is that this thing is all about us. You know the poem, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. And see, that's the problem with us. It's all about us. But when we look at the Sea of Galilee, and we see how the Sea of Galilee takes in, we look at the Jordan River, and we see how the Jordan River takes in and gives out, and we can see the prosperity around the Jordan River because it is a conduit to take in and give out. We can see the blessings of giving. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. In verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, and one translation says belly, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God created you as a believer in Christ. If you are here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has created you to be a wellspring. God has created you to be a river that flows out and nourishes other people. Are you flowing this morning? And notice what he didn't say. Notice what he didn't say. In verse 38, he didn't say, out of his belly shall flow a river. He didn't say a river. He said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers. That God has created you to be prosperous. God has created you to be a river or rivers of living water that nourish the life of other people. If you'll go to the slide, why people volunteer. Why do people volunteer? Because there's something that God puts in us that causes us to want to give and want to be a blessing to other people. If you look at this right here, reasons people volunteer. You know why? Now, you know, there are some selfish reasons that people volunteer. Some people volunteer because they want accolades. Some people volunteer because they want to put something on their resume. Some people volunteer because they think that it will help them to get a good job. But if you look at unselfish reasons, why do people volunteer? I know that's kind of hard to see, but I'll try to read it the best that I can. Why do people volunteer? Because there's something inside of us that says we should give back. That if you've been blessed and you have received, that there is something inside of you that says that you should give back. Now, who put that there? You know, God put that in us. God put this ability in us to want to give. And you know, Satan does everything he can to fight against the spirit of giving. And he turns our focus inwardly so it fights against the spirit of giving. Why do people volunteer? Because they want to make a difference. They see something that's wrong, or they see an opportunity to serve, and they want to make a difference. Why do people volunteer? Because they see a need. And there's an innate ability that when you see a need, that if you are a child of God, made in the image of God, that whether or not you meet that need, there is a desire in you to see that need met. If somebody was to come up to you and say that they were hungry and they had absolutely no food at all, there would be something in you that would say, how can I help this person right here? So there's that desire to meet a need. There's that desire to serve others. That when we serve others, we feel better about ourselves. That when we serve others, we know that others are being helped, and we can walk away feeling that we have made a contribution to life and society. Why do people volunteer? Because they feel that they have expertise. You know, some people have a job where they do a certain thing and they get paid for that, but they realize that getting a paycheck, that there's more to life than getting a paycheck. Now, not everybody realizes that, but most people should. If you are a child of God with the Spirit of God down inside of you, then you need to realize that there's more to life than just getting a paycheck. And so maybe God blessed you with some expertise. For instance, the ladies that stood up here this morning and sang, you know, they were blessed with the ability to sing. Pastor Glaze stands up here to sing, then you would say, well, he's not sharing in his area of expertise. So people have an area of expertise, and there's a willingness to what? To want to share that so that others might benefit from what they have. And then hopefully all of us would sense a call by God, that we would pray and that God would share and speak to our hearts about this need and this desire to give back. Are you giving back today? What way are you channeling out the rivers of God in your life? How are you streaming out into the lives of other people? God created us with this ability to give. Being a football coach, one of the things that we did a lot, we had to try to fire players up in order to get ready to play the game. And one of our favorite coaches that we used and we quoted from a lot was Vince Lombardi, because Vince Lombardi was a great coach, and he won Super Bowls and he won championships. So a lot of things that he said, people want to know what he said to his players. And Vince Lombardi had a speech, and I don't have time to read the whole speech. But let me just read part of the speech that Vince Lombardi gave. He said, every time a football player goes out to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Some guys play with their heads. That's okay. You've got to be smart to be number one in any business. But more importantly, you've got to play with your heart, with every fiber of your body. If you're lucky enough to find a guy who's got a lot of head and a lot of heart, he's never going to come off that field second. In reality, life is a competition, and the most competitive games draw the most competitive men. That's why we are there. We are there to compete, to know the rules and the objectives, and then get in the game. The object is to win fairly, squarely, by the rules, but to win. He said, in truth, I've never known a man worth his salt who in the long run and deep down in his heart didn't appreciate the grind of discipline. There is something in good men that really yearns for discipline and the harsh reality of head-to-head combat. I don't say these things because I believe in the brute nature of man or that men must be brutalized to be combative. I believe in God, and I believe in human decency. And listen to this. But I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is the moment he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the battlefield, victorious. The finest moment of any person's life is to realize that you've given your all. And we're talking about, as Christians, we're talking about giving our all to God. The finest moment in your life is to know that when you come to the end of your day and you get ready to lay down on your pillow, to realize, Lord, I've done the best that I could for you. If, when you give the best of your service, telling men that the Savior has come, be not dismayed if they will not hear you, for he will understand and say, well done. And isn't that what we labor for? Not only when we get to heaven do we labor to hear those words, well done, but each and every day we should labor to hear, well done. Because God has gifted us to be able to go out and give. Furthermore, the person who shares what they receive with others will not lack anything. The person who shares with other people will not lack anything for himself. It may be the reason that you're sitting here today and you have so much need in your life and that your needs are going unmet. Could it be, and I'm just making a suggestion, could it be that you haven't taken the time to be that river? You haven't taken it, and I'm just not talking about financial resources now. I'm talking about a giving of yourself, that you have taken the time to take in, but nowhere are you being like that Jordan River, and you're giving back out again. There's no rivers flowing out of you. You know, just think of all the possible rivers that could flow out of us. There's a river that flows to our family. There's a river that flows to our church. There's a river that flows on our job. There's a river that flows to our community. There's a river that flows to our friends. And yes, there's even the river that flows to our enemies. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow the river of living water. And when the river flows from you,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.